Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's Terry.
And Cherry.
And it's 30 Years of Nonsense. We're back. We're live. And we had a great trip to Nashville.
We did. We're going to share with everyone today all of our adventures to Nashville and the music that we enjoyed when we were there. We had a fantastic time. And just to set the stage, Terry bought me tickets to see Carrie Underwood in Nashville for my birthday, which was back the end of March, which meant we had to take a trip to Nashville, which is never a problem.
Yeah, it was really good. So much happened while we were there. It was 5 days of sheer nonsense, right?
Yes, it was fantastic. We actually have some very dear friends of ours that live just south of Atlanta, Georgia, and they drove up to meet us. So we had a really fun time running around with these friends that we actually haven't seen since we were in Alaska. So it's kind of our couple we travel with. We've had years of lots of great adventures with them, but we only see them every couple of years when we go on some big adventure. And this time they joined us in Nashville, which was great. So we can like start at the beginning. Even like the first night, we did something completely spontaneous.
Yeah, so I didn't realize how quick the flight it actually is to
Nashville. Oh yeah, it was less than an hour and a half.
Yeah, we literally took off at 5 o'clock out of Toronto. Sorry, yeah, 5 o'clock out of Toronto, and we touched down at like 6:15. It was crazy.
That's good. I was hungry, so we proceeded to drop our bags in the hotel, and then we thought, well, we'll walk downtown and see if we could find some food, and instead we found a play.
Yeah, so we found this crazy show. It was called The Shiners.
Shiners.
And I'll let you explain, because you actually have a good explanation of what you think the show was. It was a crossover of so many different things.
So we really like to go to a different town and just kind of walk up to whatever their version of Broadway is the day of and see what kind of day of tickets we can get for either a show or a concert or a play or whatever might be happening. And we were on our way to a restaurant that the hotel recommended. And I was very hungry, to be honest, hangry. And I ended up having popcorn for that part of the dinner, but that's okay. We walked by this theater and it said, you know, Shiners, the musical, the spectacle, the inappropriate adult humor show. And we like all those things.
Yeah.
Spectacles and inappropriate adult humor and things. And so we just walked up to the boss office and said, what's this all about? And when does it start next? And it was starting in literally 40 minutes. It was starting at 7. And so we said, yeah, what the heck? So we threw down our credit card. We bought 2 tickets to see this show that we knew nothing about. And
absolutely nothing.
It ended up being a cross between Cirque du Soleil, vaudeville, a Broadway act, because there was singing and dancing, kind of like Book of Mormon-esque. It was inappropriate in a lot of places. And then there was also like a lot of audience interaction, like you'd see almost on a cruise ship game show.
Yeah, I don't know.
They had people up to the audience.
Yeah, I don't know how to even explain it, but it's been around. I think it said it was around for like 10 years, too.
I don't know. It was great. I would, let's see, on the Sherry scale, I would give it like a 7.5 out of 10.
I was going to give it a 7, so you gave it a little bit better than I.
But it wasn't bad, but I'm not saying run out to see it. And our daughter, who's very fussy and fancy and has high expectations, we were talking to her last night and you were saying like, go see this. And I said, she wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, she wouldn't like it.
Yeah. It was
kind
quirky.
Of hillbilly-esque.
Yeah. It was weird. I mean, the characters interacted right from the beginning. Like even as you were getting seated, I was like, what's going on with this dude over there with this crazy mullet? Turned out he was bald and he just had fake hair tucked into a hat. Like,
but there was everything from a contortionist.
Oh, yeah, that guy was crazy. The trapeze.
The hand people who stood, those guys who stood on each other's hands and heads.
Oh, yeah, there was strong men and
the trapeze girl.
Yeah.
And
who started off, so she, and we'll put some stuff up on her Instagram so you can actually see it. She started off in coveralls and a ball cap with grease on her face and work boots. And she got down into a 2-piece.
A very skimpy outfit.
Very small outfit and was doing crazy acts on a pole. And not pole dancing, but swinging around on a pole and contortion.
No, it didn't cross the line.
No, none of it crossed the line.
It was just funny.
But yeah, it was crazy. So that was like
Yeah, that was super fun. So that was our first little adventure. And then we finally proceeded on to get some food. And we went to this little restaurant at 10:30 at that point. Did you say Puck with a P, I hope?
Yeah, Puckett's. P-U-C-K-E-T-T-S. Literally 2 doors down. And I'd asked the guy, where would you go for dinner? And the guy goes, literally next door. And then later on, I saw that guy, the front door guy, was eating in the restaurant as well. And it was this lady, and I forget her name.
It was somebody in her, it was a funny name. It was like a lady and then like her two friends, but they were all really good. They all
the
took
three
the turn.
Lads.
Yeah, they took a turn in the lead. I'm sure we have their contact information or we jotted
down. Yeah, I took
down
photos of her as well.
But literally every single place you go in Nashville has live music. And so we can get to that part of the story later. But when you walk down their main street, which is called Broadway, there is literally someone playing live music in every single window. And it was everything from, remember me commenting like 10 a.m. on a Monday, who gets that time slot, to how do you actually get what I guess is like the trophy spot would be 9 p.m. on a Saturday. And so that was like spectacular. So we're going to move along with the stories because nobody's that interested in really what we ate or what we saw. What are you looking
up? I was looking it up, and it's actually Lisa Lamb and the Fab Three.
Okay, I knew it was her and her friends or something.
But she was spectacular, and she did everything from Etta James, and then he jumped in and he did some Elvis Presley, and then the...
The young guy, what I kept calling him, the young kid, he was very good.
He
looked like Scotty McCreary-esque, so kind of baby face.
Yeah, he was the lead guitar guy, and then the bass guy play. He did some really good stuff. He actually did some Eric Clapton. Actually, he did Derek and the Dominoes, but it was great. He played Layla and stuff like that. It was so good. And I guess it kind of was kicking off CMA week, and I didn't realize.
Yeah, we didn't know it was CMA Fest week.
Yeah, so.
We were leaving as it was starting.
Yeah, everything was being set up. And, I mean, Jelly Roll was performing that night. Had I known, we would have just probably kept walking down and bought Jelly Roll tickets. We probably could have seen him.
Well, we tried to do that, but let's tell everybody what happened. So
that's not Jelly Roll.
No, I was going to jump to that. So we're all over the map. But one evening we found out that Darius Rucker was there playing at the playing at the Ryman Auditorium. We did not have tickets, and we thought we would go buy tickets from scalpers. And we learned that scalping is not legal in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, it's really weird. You can only do it online.
Well, we were also, there were four of us, and we were also watching it on StubHub to see if we could get any last minute, like people turned in their seats or something. So we're milling about the parking lot, and we're just talking about whether or not we're going to see if we can jump in on this concert. And we were kind of back where like the tour buses were and the setup rigs and all that kind of stuff. And Terry, in his infinite wisdom, says, I guarantee you Darius Rucker's in that rig right now in his bus. And I said, in my lack of infinite wisdom, no, he's not. He's got to be inside by now. He's probably having a shower, refreshing,
sound check,
doing all the things. And you said, no, I'm telling you, he's in there. Not 5 minutes later does Darius Rucker walk out of that bus. And of course, with Mr. Doherty's charm, he walks straight up to Darius Rucker and said, hey, I'm Terry. Can you want to take a picture with me? And Darius Rucker said, sure, man.
It was really funny. Everybody was like mulling around trying. There were so many people pushing to get autographs and stuff. And I was like, I don't even want an autograph from you. I would love one, but I don't have anything to get an autograph. But I'd really love to, you know, take a picture with you, you know, like, kind of close. And he was like, yeah, man, come on over.
Sure. Yeah. So we're going to post that photo as well. And then we're going to start by playing a song by Darius Rucker because we're already 8 minutes in and haven't played any music.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's go ahead and play Comeback Song by Darius Rucker.
Sounds great.
Up again this morning, and when you know it, pouring rain. I went and burned a pot of coffee, and like us, I poured it down the drain. 'Cause I didn't know I needed you so, and letting you go. I
said I wouldn't miss you. But now I'm saying I'm a fool. You're on the feel good side of leaving, and I'm the backside of a mule. And I didn't know I needed you so, and letting you go was wrong. And baby, I know you got your radio on, so this is my so sad comeback song. Now I'm laying down without you in this king-size empty bed. And I wish I had my arms around you, but I'll just dream of you instead. 'Cause I didn't know I needed you so, and letting you go.
Good. I'm so, sad we didn't see him, because we'll get to it later, but we actually ended up touring the Ryman, and it is spectacular. I really wish we had seen something in there, particularly him and those acoustics.
Yeah, we're going to see him next year.
We're going to do something in that theater next year. So good. We'll get to that. That was just yesterday morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
That's crazy.
Literally, yeah. Yesterday we toured the Ryman. Let's talk about just the live music for a minute. Like, there was somebody, and I was down there, and one of my colleagues was down there, and she'd never been before. And she sent me a message this morning going, I can't believe there's music from literally the minute you wake up till like 2, 3, 4 a.m. And I was like, yeah.
Maybe it doesn't stop. I don't know if there's places that are open all the time.
No, I think the one guy said the bars close at 3. You've got 45 minutes to get out. And that's literally, the guy literally plays kind of getting out music.
Okay.
I know we didn't stay up to 3 a.m. We were out quite late most nights, but it was awesome. It was just incredible. And we met some really, like, we met this new artist. No, he's not new in general, but new to us. And we're gonna actually promote him next week. He's got a new song coming out next Friday, but he's going to send it to us early so we can actually play it next week.
Terry was chatting up all the artists.
I was. It was great. I mean, I was like, hey, if they were good, some of them.
I don't think we saw any that were bad.
No, I don't think we did either. I mean, there was one band in Old Red, which is Blake Shelton's bar.
He was good. Or they were good.
They were great. They went from Sum 41 to Dolly Parton. Like, literally, the transition was right. So wild. And some of the nonsense going on in these bars was wild.
Oh, boy. There were a lot of bachelorette parties. And you can just imagine what's happening with bachelorette girls.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. Those six girls.
All the six girls. There was plenty of them, yes.
Yeah. It was great. But the whole thing was just incredible. Let's talk about the first tour, because I really liked that, too. We took the hop-on, hop-off bus.
Oh, I was going to go. I forgot about that. But we... So, funny story. The hop-on, hop-off bus wouldn't let us off.
Yeah. She kept driving around. So, we got to our main stop, which is their depot, and it's kind of got a bunch of really cool stores, and it's in the Metalworks area where some of the first actual whiskey distilleries were. And we learned something interesting about distillery numbers. I didn't know. So Jack Daniel's is DSN number 7, and which meant they were the number 7 distillery allowed in Tennessee.
You have to have that number to be able to sell that alcohol, which I didn't even know that's what the number meant.
I didn't either. So
obviously we don't. No. We're not alcohol connoisseurs. We're music connoisseurs.
But it was pretty neat. And so she was telling us about this story about this distillery family, and they have DSN number 5. So they were actually ahead of Jack Daniel's. Not the point of the story, but the point of the story was we went into this, all these different stores, and we went into one that was the Johnny Cash kind of side museum. And the guy only opened the business on the day before so we were there on Monday. So that day was the first day opening, and they weren't really prepared. Excuse me. They were talking about, he actually bought Johnny Cash's farm.
Yeah, he bought his house.
His house just outside Nashville. And he had all this memorabilia and all this stuff. He had the car. He had everything that Johnny Cash had literally left at the house. And he was friends with Johnny Cash's family somehow through some missionary work that his dad had done. And so I was like, well, what are you selling here? And he's like, oh, nothing. We're not selling.
I don't know why you rented pop-up space.
They literally rented this huge space, but was just kind of showing stuff and giving you directions to the farm where you could go to the farm and see the farm. It was more
maybe
of
there was an admission at the farm.
Maybe. It was just so weird. But anyway.
Go ahead.
He had some really cool memorabilia, though. He had this hat.
The person was wearing, unfortunately, when they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima.
Yeah.
It was the army person.
His dad was in the military, and he was over in the military when the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. And he actually was able, as a child, the guy gave him his hat somehow. I don't know why ended up with it, but he ends up with this hat, and there's a whole letter and a story behind it, and it was in the thing. It was pretty wild. And then we went to this other store called Rock of Ages, which I really enjoyed, and the guy had actually had albums, and I got the U2 album, the Joshua Tree, but he had actually cut out Bono's face in the side of the album and then U2 on the bottom. It was really
like silhouette work.
Yeah, really, really well done, and we'll post that. I'm actually going to turn that record into a clock. So I got a little bit of work to do on it, but it was really, really cool.
So the point of that story was, though, that she wouldn't let us off the bus.
Yeah,
that was the nonsense part. So let me tell that.
That was insane.
We get on this hop-on, hop-off bus. Our buddy that was with us didn't really want to do this, but we convinced him it was a great way to see a town and then decide what parts you want to go back to and actually spend some time. So he was grudgingly on the bus with us. And then we found out that our bus driver had only been driving for, 3 weeks?
Yeah, she had no idea what she was doing.
You could tell she could not handle that bus. She hit every curb. She didn't know what she was doing. And I guess she got herself off schedule, but she got to the depot too early. And so they wouldn't let the passengers off. She made us drive around the block 6 times.
Yeah, she was there 15 minutes early. She was like, oh, we're going to do the blocks one more time. And we're like, what?
Let us off.
Just stop somewhere.
Please let us off.
Yeah. So she wouldn't stop. So we were kind of chanting, like, let us off.
Yeah,
like,
it was very crazy. Funny. However, let's skip ahead to the Country Music Hall of Fame.
That was neat.
We had done that previously, but they had added some new displays. There's a new Taylor Swift and new Dolly Parton section that we learned so much about both those very talented ladies. But we did the Studio B add-on, which is actually the studio where pretty much everything was originally recorded, right from Elvis to before Elvis. And they take you on this really interesting tour. And Terry has a bunch of fun facts that he'd like to share that we learned on the studio. So why don't you talk to us about Minnie Pearl's hat to start with?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. So even before we get to the actual RCA Victor, so that's RCA Victor Studio B. And but even before we got that, we were on the tour and the lady was saying, like, does anybody know who Minnie Pearl is? Actually asked who Sarah Cannon was. And I didn't know that Sarah Cannon's was actually Minnie Pearl. Minnie Pearl was her stage name. And she went out on stage one time, and she was wearing, she always wore this hat
with fresh flowers,
with fresh flowers in it, and she forgot to take the number or the price tag off the fresh flowers, and the price tag fell down during a performance, and there was a number 98 cents in it. She didn't want to seem cheap, so she actually wrote in the number one.
So it was 198.
198 at the time. That was expensive for fresh flowers. So anyway, she left that, and that became her shtick. Mm-hmm. Was this number 198 on a price tag in her hat. So that was pretty neat. But what we did learn about it was Sarah Cannon, or Minnie Pearl, actually, unfortunately, had gotten breast cancer three times in her lifetime. And she went to this hospital in Tennessee, who actually was able to cure her multiple times, came back. She actually donated $5 million to cancer research, and because she had, at that time, that was a lot of money for somebody to donate.
Still a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. So she personally donated $5 million. So there is actually campuses around Nashville with her name on it. So it is the Sarah Cannon Cancer Research Campus.
Yeah.
So beautiful. It was really neat. Yeah. And then we also learned that Roy Orbison was recording one time in one of the studios, not Studio B per se, but one of the studios. And while he was driving, or while he was recording, this song, or he saw a pretty lady, and he wrote, he said,
I forgot this story.
Yeah, yeah. He said, oh my God. He went out and he said to her, I'm going to marry you someday.
She was just walking
down the street. And after he had met her, he went and recorded Oh Pretty Woman. Mm-hmm. And it was an homage to her. And then he found her again.
Like years later.
They ran into each other. At the Ryman, mm-hmm. and at the back of the Ryman, she was working at the Ryman at the time, and he remembered her, and he saw her again, and he went up and he proposed. But what was interesting is he was married to somebody else at the time.
That's right. So he said, "I'm going to marry you while he had a wife."
So that's kind of crazy.
Let's play a song,
yeah,
and then we'll come back and then tell him the really cool story about the Elvis song.
Oh, absolutely. So let's do this though. Let's play a little Dolly Parton here.
Stop to play. Saturday mornings. Whether you're waking up in a stranger's apartment or enjoying some time with the family, you need a nutritional breakfast for your ears. So join me, DJ Overeasy, for Making Bacon every Saturday morning from 8 until 10 on CFRC 101.9 and CFRC.ca.
I like bacon.
You do. and that was not necessarily pointed out, but very true. Yes, we do. You are really excited about sharing this story about the Elvis song.
So let's talk about this. So the Elvis song is pretty interesting. So let me just go back because I want to make sure I have the exact information. All right. April 3rd, 1960.
I didn't have that.
All right. So I literally made notes while I was there.
You did, yes.
So what was really cool is let's talk a bit about Elvis. So in the Studio B, which is, it was used from 19...
Well, it was the original studio.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. It was the original studio for many, many, many years. And then they decided they wanted to build a newer, more modern one with the latest and greatest. And they called that one the primary studio, which is why the original one became Studio B. But Elvis refused to record in the new one.
Yeah.
He was like, I like the old one. I like the acoustics. It's my home. I've spent more hours than any person should physically spend in the old one. So he only recorded in Studio B.
All right. So let me tell you the information behind this. So October 29th, 1957 was the first production out of Studio B. They put out of 1,000 hits, number one songs. Elvis recorded 240 songs in that studio himself. It closed on 1977 after 20 years of amazing work.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Joanne Davis was the first artist to ever record in Studio B. And I had asked Travis, who was our guide, or sorry, Tristan, who was our guide, what did she actually record? And they have no record of what she actually recorded as the first song. But they have her name on the sign-in sheet for the first person. So they don't actually know what was the first song she recorded. She recorded a bunch of stuff that day. So June 10th, 1958 was the first time Elvis recorded in Studio B. And it was the first hit out of Studio B at the time. And it was Big Hunk of Love. Big Hunk of Love?
No, I get it, yeah.
All right.
I thought it was Hunk of Burning Love. But
yeah,
that's
just in the words, okay. Right? So, and it was the first number one hit was done by Don Gibson, Oh Lonesome Me, and that was out of the studio. Benny Hill theme was also recorded out of that studio, which is kind of interesting. All right. Elvis got 3 Grammys. All of them were gospel songs. I had no idea. So he only ever won 3 Grammys. 3 of them were gospels. 2 of them were for the same song. One of them was recorded in Studio B. The other was recorded live in 1974. And it was for How Great Thou Art.
Yep.
So, and then I didn't remember what the second song was, but it's irrelevant. So the second time Elvis recorded in Studio B was April 3rd, 1960. He recorded 12 songs that day. Mm-hmm. So on the 12th into the, sorry, April 3rd into the 4th, he recorded 12 songs. And at 4:30 a.m. on the 4th, he recorded Are You Lonesome Tonight? Now, interestingly enough, Tristan, who was explaining this, says there was an issue with the recording and somebody had stood up.
Can I add something though?
Sure.
So he didn't want to. Remember, he didn't want to sing this song.
Yeah.
And he was exhausted.
Yeah.
And what was his manager's name?
I don't remember.
The main manager.
The colonel.
The colonel forced him basically to say, you're singing this song. And so Elvis said, I will sing this song once.
And once
in one
only.
Take only. And I will give it every ounce of my heart and soul. They did it in the dark.
Yeah.
Because remember, he turned out the lights so we could feel the moment, which was amazing to be in that room where all those amazing artists have sung for years. And they said, just visualize. Now, Elvis is exhausted. He's been there for like 13 hours. He's not happy with the colonel who's forcing him to sing this song he doesn't love. He says, I'll sing it once, and that's the best you're getting out of me, and it's dead in the dark. Proceed with your story.
All right, so he's recording.
You needed that context.
You kind of do, yeah, and I apologize. You do need the context. What I will tell you is when he's recording the song, one of the audio assistants in the recording room stands up, and he knocks something right as the song is just about to end. Now, you'll hear just right at the end, is in Are You Lonesome Tonight, you hear a click, and that click is actually because they had to splice the song.
Well, it was tape, reel to reel.
It was actual reel to reel, yes. So they had to splice it because
he wasn't doing it again.
Yeah, he wasn't doing it again, and you actually can hear the click in the recording. Now, I've heard this song hundreds of times.
Well, now we'll never unhear it.
And I'll never unhear this click.
And we want everybody else to hear it.
We want to play it for you. And right at the end of the song, you're going to hear a little click at the end of Are You Lonesome Tonight at the end of the song.
We'll see if we can identify what second it happens at, because we'll be watching.
Yeah.
And then we'll see if we'll say, okay, it was at second 356 or something.
Yeah, and it's crazy because there was some controversy over this click. And did it really happen or didn't? You know, why it was there.
Old wives' tale.
But there is actually, they went into the archives and pulled out the tape in the reel to reel, and there's actually tape right in that spot. So
yeah,
it's really, really cool. So let's play this for you. We've talked a lot today, but we got to get these things out because they're so interesting, in my opinion. Here we go. Are You Lonesome Tonight? Little Elvis Presley.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to a bright summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart? Do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare? Do you gaze at your doorstep and picture me there? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. You know, someone said the world's a stage and each must play a part. Fate had me playing in love with you as my sweetheart. Act one was where we met. I loved you at first glance. You read your lines so cleverly and never missed a cue. Then came act two. You seemed to change, you acted strange, and why I've never known. Honey, you lied when you said you loved me. And I had no cause to doubt you. But I'd rather go on hearing your lies than to go on living without you. Now the stage is bare, and I'm standing there with emptiness all around. And if you won't come back to me, then they can bring the curtain down. Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
So it's right at the end. It was literally
at 302.
302. So right at the end of the song, you hear this little click, and you have no idea what it means.
It's amazing. I'm so excited that I know that now.
Me too. It's one of those things I'll never unknow.
It's useless knowledge. We'll never know.
Yeah, but it was so good. So good to know. Now, you talk about Carrie Underwood and your show.
Oh, we're going to Carrie Underwood
now? Would you want to go to Carrie Underwood, or where do you want to go?
Let's do Carrie Underwood, and then we'll come back and do our weekend roundup.
Yeah, let's talk about Ben Fuller and Carrie Underwood, because we're going to play a song by them.
Okay, so the idea was we were going to Nashville to see Carrie Underwood. Honestly, I didn't even look at the tickets. I just believed, Terry, that that was where we were going. And we were thinking, oh, we're going to a Carrie Underwood concert, thinking full stadium Carrie Underwood concert. And then we started to look a little bit more closely into it while we were there, and it kept saying, like, Carrie Underwood and friends celebrate 100 years of the Grand Ole Opry. And so we're like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder, you know, what it's about. So I started Googling it a little bit more, and it basically said, because I said, who's the opening act? I always want to know who the opening act is as to whether or not I need to get there on time.
Yeah, and they weren't disclosing who the opening act was.
Well, there wasn't. I never read. It basically said this is not a traditional style concert. There is no opening act. There was, and I'm going to get this wrong, and you're going to correct me.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you might.
I might.
But there was 8 performers, we'll say.
Yeah.
And they each did a set of 3 songs or 15 minutes. And Carrie Underwood was one of them at the very end, so she was the cherry on top. But it was not a Carrie Underwood concert. It was part of the series of 100 Years of Grand Ole Opry. Setting that aside, I've seen Carrie Underwood in concert, and it was spectacular, but this was spectacular in its own right, so I was not disappointed. It was amazing. There was a comedian, a songwriter who had been in the Grand Ole Opry for 64 years. There was a Christian gospel singer. There was Carrie Underwood. We'll get to that. There was the guy who wrote, it was amazing. He was actually a songwriter, and he wrote The Gambler, and...
So he wrote Allison. So he wrote The Gambler,
right.
By Kenny Rogers. He wrote Alison Krauss or Keith Whitley.
When
You Say Nothing at All. He did Garth Brooks.
Yeah, the point of that is he wrote all these amazing songs, but he was performing them that night. And you want to steal my thunder?
I'm not going to steal your thunder.
He's taking a breath like he wants to talk.
I do, but I'm going
to
wait.
He wants to say the punchline, and I'll get the punchline.
I'm going to give it to you.
So this guy comes on the stage, and he's introducing himself. You don't know him, so he's no big name. He's no big face. You wouldn't know him. He's a behind-the-scenes songs writer who sang all these amazing songs, or wrote them, sorry. And then he said is they require him before he sings the songs to say, I wrote this. Because otherwise, you would just believe it was really bad karaoke. And he wasn't a bad singer. He just was not Kenny Rogers when he sang that, or Alison Krauss when he sang I Got Nothing at All.
When you say nothing at all.
So he would say, like, he would start to sing just before he'd sing The Gambler. He'd like, I wrote this, which is why I'm singing it. But it was phenomenal. And I kept thinking, oh my God, first of all, the guy's been in the Grand Ole Opry for 64 years. Second of all, can you imagine the money he has made off residuals on those songs? This guy's loaded. I can't even imagine how much money he got. Completely unassuming, just an old man standing there in jeans and sneakers on the stage.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
And he had his own twist to the songs. They didn't actually sound. Now, the words were very, the actual kind of the guitar picking and the arrangement of it was a little bit different for each of the songs. And I think it's because, so Kenny Rogers made The Gambler his own, and Keith Whitley, Alison Krauss, Ronan Keating made When You Say Nothing at All their own. And each one of theirs is a little bit different as well. And then when he did the Garth Brooks song as well, like they were the words, obviously, and the music itself, but the arrangement was just a little bit different, but it was beautiful.
It was awesome. And we were like, sixth row or something. Yeah. Like, I could have touched Carrie Underwood.
It was
like,
so funny.
It was so good.
It was so funny, though, because he just, like, he walks out on stage and he starts guitar picking When You Said Nothing at All. And I'm like, oh, I don't really know this version. And then he stops and he says, oh, I have to tell you this story. Most of you are not going to know who I am, right? So it was so funny, but it was a really great version. Now let's talk about Ben Fuller,
right,
so Carrie Underwood.
Ben Fuller is a Christian artist, and I don't remember the whole story, but he was on a bad path and decided he was going to try and make his way in Nashville, didn't, ended up back in his hometown, then came back one more time and went to a church service where he got saved.
Yeah.
And then literally as soon as he embraced gospel as his kind of music, then his career skyrocketed. And so he was singing a beautiful Christian song that I don't remember the name of, but we'll probably come to it. If It Was Up to Me, is that the one?
Yeah.
We're going to play. Okay. So he's singing If It Was Up to Me, and it's beautiful. Just listen to the words, folks. It is so good. If you need to pick yourself up and believe in yourself, this is a great song. He gets about like halfway through the song, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Carrie Underwood. And she walks out on the stage with him, and she can belt a Christian tune like nobody's business as well.
So what's funny about it is that was the first time he had ever performed at the Grand Ole Opry, remember?
Yeah, well,
she invited him.
Yeah, you have to be invited to be a member of the Grand Ole Opry, which nobody's invited us yet.
But yeah.
I don't think it's coming.
No.
But she had invited him, so this was an honor, and basically them presenting him on the Grand Ole Opry
on the stage. And then we'll talk about the stage as well, but we'll do that after the song.
So
let's play this song. We'll come back. We'll talk about what's going on this weekend because there's a ton. And then we'll talk about the stage at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, I like it easy, but that's not how it's been. I'm at the part of the movie when the good guy might not win. Did I take a wrong turn? Why do you have me here? I want that happy ending, not this one where I'm in tears. And yeah, we both know. If it was up to me, there'd be no gravel roads, no wounds, no blisters on my soul. How good your plans could be if it was up to me.
If it was up to me, I'd never taste the grace that meets me where I am. Meet the God who came and picked me up and taught me how to stand. He always has a purpose through the joy and suffering. I'd be crazy not to trust him with everything.
If it was up to me, there'd be no gravel roads, no wounds, no blisters on my soul. Pain might come, but it wouldn't come for me. If it was up to me, I'd take the easy ride, but I'd miss the grace that changed my life. Thank God I'm not the one in charge of things. I never know how good your plans could be. If it was up to me.
Standing up against racism is an ongoing battle. How will you help?
I will employ an intersectional anti-racist lens to support the racialized community as they exercise their human rights.
I will refuse to be silenced, and I will help others raise their voices against hate.
I will listen, learn, speak up, and take actions.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and speak out.
So that was a crazy version of that song.
We can actually just do like a little mini segment on Carrie Underwood because there's not much to say other than she's phenomenal, incredible talent, beautiful, legend, like right almost up there with Dolly and Reba. By the way, I found a sticker and a mug in the U.S. that I bought, actually. So, you know, the political
landscape in the U.S.
The things in the U.S. and they would say like, I don't know, was it Trump Pence or something?
Trump
like that.
Pence.
Trump Pence or Trump, whatever that other guy's name is. For the next version, they say, like, who's going to be elected, you put on a bumper sticker. This one said Dolly Reba. 2024, and that is the most political thing I'll ever say in my lifetime, is I would have voted for Dolly and Reba.
Yeah, yeah.
They would run the world, man. The reason I say that is because Carrie Underwood, in my mind, is right up there and will, in her time, become the next Dolly and Reba of this generation. Absolutely.
But you bought the mug.
I did buy the mug.
I bought the drink.
I absolutely bought the mug. So. I will be drinking it at the trailer, which sounds pretty
crazy.
But yes, I will be drinking it at the trailer. But it was phenomenal. I mean, she literally did do only, I think, maybe three or four songs.
She did four, yeah. She joined him and then she did four of her own. So I guess four and a half, almost five.
Right. I mean, if you can even catch a glimpse of her, it is worth your time, your energy, and your money. She's a phenom, and if I had three wishes from a magic genie, it would be to look like Carrie Underwood.
But let's talk about the show too, because what I didn't know until we got there was it was actually live. So it was on Sirius XM, and it was also
local radio station
and WSM,
yeah,
which was their the actual radio station for the Grand Ole Opry. So it was being played live, and it's played live every week.
I think it was being filmed for TV, too.
Yeah.
Like for snippets of it. You could tell, because it literally made me feel like I was at the place where I watched as a kid, which I was.
Yeah.
But it was just like, this is a surreal moment.
And then, well, let's talk about the Grand Ole Opry. So the Ryman, which was the original Grand Ole Opry, and it carried on there.
Actually, this is what John and I were talking about yesterday. So when I was a kid and I saw the Grand Ole Opry, I thought it was the place. And what we learned on this trip is that the Grand Ole Opry was actually a show. And the show was performed in the Ryman.
Yes.
But it wasn't, the Grand Ole Opry wasn't a place.
No, it was a show.
It was a show that was performed in the Ryman.
Performed at the Ryman, much like Johnny Cash's show was performed at the Ryman for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But so the show, the Grand Ole Opry, was performed at the Ryman, which was the original building downtown. It actually was, the way it was designed was actually, it was, when it started, it actually was a church. It was a Methodist church.
Can I tell that part of the story?
You can. We're going to run out of time.
There's going to have to be a part two of national nonsense. This is so interesting, though. I'm not going to have the guy's names right. But there's this guy.
Thomas Ryman.
Mr. Ryman, right. He's a shipping guru. He decides that he's going to build this venue because partying and drinking and music and dancing and everything has kind of overtaken Nashville, and there was tons of money to be made and whatnot. And then this preacher came to town, which I do not remember his name either. Preacher comes to town and he is like getting people to like give up drinking and give up partying and be born again and second guess their life choices, which are impacting Mr. Ryman's business. So Mr. Ryman decides that he's going to go to this guy's church so that he can tell him off and tell him to knock it off, which is the exact words, right?
It was the exact words.
He's going to go over there and tell this guy, knock it off. You got to stop preaching and getting people to live the clean, good life and not because it's hurting my business.
Yeah, it's hurting his party business.
So Mr. Ryman goes to this church service, and by the end of the church service, he's saved.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he
so
gives himself to Christ.
Gives himself to God.
You tell him. Go ahead.
He's still chomping at the bit to take away the parts.
I am chomping.
I'm doing just fine.
I know you are. Let's talk about the money, though, right?
What money?
He gives him $10,000.
Oh, okay. But hang on. So, yeah, he said, I'm going to, instead of building this amazing place
concert
where all
venue.
These bad things are going to happen, I'm going to build you a church.
Yep.
And so he gives him $10,000, which is a lot of money in that day, and says, well, I'm going to build you this beautiful church. You can save all of Nashville. This is the new way we're going to go. Preacher has six kids in whatever town he's from and said, no,
Georgia,
I don't want to move my six kids to Nashville. I don't want to come here and preach all the time. I don't want to do it. So then Mr. Ryman says, well, I'm building this facility anyways. You are free to come here and preach anytime you want to.
Yep.
And so they build what is now the restored Ryman Auditorium, where this preacher came to preach all the time. And I'm not going to have the timeline right, but say 18 months or 2 years later, it was named something else. And then Mr. Ryman dies.
Yeah.
And so the preacher came to that location, which is the Ryman now, to preside over his funeral. And on that day declares, this shall therefore now be known as the Ryman Auditorium.
Christmas Day, 1904.
Okay. How do you know that? Either wrote it down or you've got a crazy memory.
I did write it down.
Okay. Because so your memory's
Christmas
not that
Day
good.
Is when they did the actual service. So Christmas Day, 1904, it goes from being the Methodist Church of Nashville to being known as the Ryman Auditorium.
Right.
And from there on, it literally changes what's going to happen. So they have all these beautiful
stained glass.
It is. Like it was
the,
a church,
it's still
right?
Pews.
And so the
you
original
can see a picture of us.
You can
in it on 30 Years of Nonsense.
You will.
Instagram.
We're going to put some stuff up, but it literally is one of the most beautiful things. And the stage was all this beautiful white oak. And when the Ryman, when Grand Ole Opry left the Ryman after 20 years of being there and doing their shows,
to then become their own building,
to be their own building in outside of Nashville, more of in the suburbs, they actually went there and cut a circle in the floor because it was dilapidated. And they cut a circle, and that is the Grand Ole Opry. It's this.
It's the pinnacle of when you perform in the circle, you've made it.
Yeah.
And the artists cry and they break down. It's like, I stood in the circle, I sang in the circle.
And they show you photographs of actual artists touching and kissing the circle, and it is the circle. So that circle, what's interesting is that circle then went to the new Grand Ole Opry. But in 2012, the Grand Ole Opry, where the new building is, had a flood. And they had to replace the floor. And again, they went back to the Ryman and they cut another circle in the floor and took the wood again and placed it. And that is the wood you now see in the Grand Ole Opry. So all of the wood is a different color except this stage, the circle where the performers
would hit
you. Yeah, it's so cool.
It was fantastic.
So yeah, it was amazing. Let's talk about what we're doing because we are literally running out of time.
I know, but you can tell we're passionate about this and
yeah.
We had fun.
Yeah, we had a great time. So there's definitely going to be a part two because we met some, like I said, we met some really interesting artists.
Yeah,
we actually
feature some of them.
Yeah, we met.
We need to play Terry from Toronto.
We do need to play Terry from Toronto. So we were out there and we ran into a guy that literally said he had a tip jar out and I tipped him and he said, let me sing
it's
you
like a
song.
Performer.
Like a street performer.
You're not playing it right now.
I'm not
He's looking at his phone to find it.
I'm not playing it today.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say, you know, we met this guy and he sang this song and he said, where are you from? And I said, well, you know, you're not going to know it. So I'll just say Toronto. So then he sings a song called Terry from Toronto and he's got this rap and the whole bit. And it's so funny.
Crazy.
And he's got some pretty cool little lyrics in it. So that was pretty neat. And then we met this guy Tuesday. His name was Ross Livermore, and he was amazing. He did some really good originals and some covers and spent some time talking with him as well.
We'll play one of his songs.
We will play one of his songs next week in our featured piece on part two. But let's talk about what's going on this weekend.
What's going on at the Lofanale tomorrow night?
So tomorrow night at the Lofanale, we are going to do four rounds, as we always do. One of the rounds is going to be called Nashville Nonsense. What you will realize is Nashville is not just country music, and I forgot that. I mean, Kid Rock's bar's there, John Bon Jovi's bar's there, Jelly Roll was there. I mean, there's a lot of country, but there's a lot, so much more.
Well, they
so much
the
more.
The Ryman kind of partner with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
because
there was
did.
A portion in
yeah,
there that was about
it was amazing. So we're going to be in my Nashville nonsense, not Nashville, but in my Nashville nonsense round. You're going to get some rock, you're going to get some country, you're going to get a little blues, you're going to get it all tomorrow. And then one of the other rounds is going to be 70s, one, two, or three hit wonders. Great round. It's going to be amazing. Another round is going to be songs with questions in the title. So another great round. And then the last round or one of the other rounds is going to be called Isaac's Playlist.
Who's Isaac? Isaac? We know a couple.
Yeah. So it's our Are We There Yet? So they joined us with the Sum 41 concert. He's got a really eclectic taste. You might hear some Goo Goo Dolls. You might hear a little Sum 41, Simple Plan. So it's going to be a lot of fun, upbeat songs. I'm not sure where I'm going to end out my night. It might be Isaac's Playlist because he's got a lot of fun stuff going on. But that's me. Let's move on to you because you got a ton of stuff going on this week.
So I'm not going to hear anything tomorrow night because I'm not going to be there.
No.
However, if any of our listeners are going to be in Picton tomorrow night, there is a massive sidewalk sale being sponsored by Fashion Week Picton and the Picton Downtown BIA. And a couple of other realtors and I have decided that we are going to host Open Doors Picton. So we've set up a walking tour of any of the homes that are currently for sale within like a 10-minute radius of Main Street Picton. So we invite you to get an ice cream or get a coffee or whatever your refreshment of choice is and pick up the walking tour. You can see some beautiful historic homes. There is something for for everyone. I have a fantastic home in the market at 21 Center Street, which is could be multi-use for a income property as well as multi-generational, as well as a home business, to be honest. It is stunning from top to bottom. That kitchen is to die for. You can agree with that, I'm sure. And there's several other ones. If you want to look up Open Doors Picton on Facebook, there is a Facebook event with a walking map and a tour of the homes that are currently included. We might be adding another couple tomorrow. But I'm going to be in Picton from 5 till 8 or 9 tomorrow night doing Open Doors Picton. And then Saturday, I am going to do, hopefully, life things that are going to catch us up. I have one meeting booked and a potential another one, but there's lots of things to do. You're DJing a wedding.
Yeah,
wedding season. I think you forgot about that.
No, I hadn't forgotten. We were talking Friday. So Friday, moving into Saturday. Saturday is crazy for me. First big wedding of the year. Very excited. They are friends of us. Mm-hmm. It's their daughter getting married. So really, really excited. It's going to be on base. I'm not going to say which room, yep. But it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be tons of fun. Kicks off the wedding season.
Yeah, it does kick off the wedding season. So that's going to be great. And then Sunday,
we have the second in our series of roaming art shows. So we have local artists who you can meet and greet and look at their art. And this time it will be downtown Kingston. So it will be at 121 Rideau Street in downtown Kingston. Again, something that's completely walkable, particularly if it's a nice day. We have five local artists that are participating. So essentially what we're doing is we're showcasing their work and the artists themselves in an actual home. So you can see what the art would look like on the walls in your home. You can purchase the art from the artist, and not so coincidentally, you could purchase the home. So the home is for sale. It has a stunning view of Lake Ontario from the upstairs loft room, which is phenomenal. And I think it'll be a little clamoring to see which artists we have up in that room, but it's going to be a really fun event. The one we did last time in Picton was so well attended and really successful. We had fancy little charcuterie boxes.
You're doing that again,
champagne.
Right?
Yeah, Saturday night by myself, I'm going to be making charcuterie boxes because you're not going to be home to help
me.
Which is okay, but that's a really exciting event that we're also very excited about. So yeah, we took last weekend off when we ran around for a couple days and had a little downtime, but we are hard right back at it and having lots of fun with all the neat stuff that we do with both of our businesses.
Yeah. I'm very excited that we're kicked off. It's music time, and we're going to play one last song. We're going to play a little Blake Shelton to kind of end things off.
So this is new. This isn't an old one. This is from his newest album that I discovered, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago. But when you listen to these words, try to have a dry eye by the end of it.
All right. Well, enjoy this, guys. We'll see you out and about. It's going to finish things off for us. So wishing you guys a great weekend, and we will see you out and about. Have a great weekend.
That's what the faded letters used to say on the chain the dealer gave me on the day I drove it away. Room 202. I didn't turn it in like you're supposed to. I was 18, she was 22. And that spring break hotel room, I learned. It hangs there on a hook by my front door. Half of them don't even work no more. I remember what each one used to be for. On the lane that holds the keys that unlock me. Mm-hmm.
Mama put it there for me, just in case I ever came back home one day. Still on the ring that holds the keys that unlock me.
Hello and welcome to The Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm Dinah Jansen, and with me is